hear the name Hershey, and chocolate likely comes to mind, as well as the Hershey Medical Center, Hershey PA, Hershey Park, and then perhaps the Milton Hershey School for Poor Children. The school and the children it's entrusted to serve is the topic of Philadelphia Inquirer business writer and author Bob Fernandez. His book is entitled The Chocolate Trust, Deception, Indenture, and Secrets at the $12 billion Milton Hershey School. Bob, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you, Dave.
Was it in the course of working in the business department for the Inquirer that you first came to be interested in this topic?
Yes, I was assigned in 2001 to do a story on there was some Knight Ridder newspaper reporters who were doing an investigative piece on child laborers in Africa. And one of their stories dealt with forced child labor in the cocoa farms in West Africa. And so the Inquirer was going to publish that series, and they wanted a local sidebar on it. And they said, well, Hershey's a big chocolate company, the biggest U.S. chocolate company. Did they know that there was child laborers in the cocoa fields and perhaps child slaves? Call them up and ask them.
And I believe in addition to learning that Hershey has 40% of the chocolate business, I believe some 70% of chocolate comes from West Africa.
Exactly. So it seemed likely that cocoa from West Africa got to Hershey. And so I did the sidebar, and I called up Hershey, and at that time they said they had no idea that there was child laborers involved on the cocoa farms, child slaves, and it was news to them, and that they'd look into it. And at that time I felt like it didn't really feel like credible to me that they didn't know. Such a large company, Fortune 500 company, that had been involved in West African cocoa farms for decades. I mean, it seemed hard that they didn't know. But they said they didn't know. And, that year, Congress almost passed a labeling law. The industry responded, including Hershey, saying that they would self-regulate, that they would sort of certify their products, certify farms as free of child labor. So, the issue passed. And that was my first encounter with Hershey.
Though we certainly learn in the book that that issue is one of countless that have raised the attention of investigators looking at Hershey, it's a historical account in a sense. And we learn that it was in the first decade of the 20th century that Milton Hershey and his wife Kitty were inspired by Stephen Girard, who back in 1833 established Girard College here in Philadelphia as a boarding school for poor fatherless boys. So why don't you take us back to the 1909 deed establishing the Hershey Trust Company's role?
Yes, I was very surprised when I started doing the research on this book that Milton almost copied parts of Stephen Girard's will in establishing his school. At the time, I would say in the 1880s, 1890s, Girard College was one of the leading philanthropies in America. I mean, it was – everybody knew it. And he was a chocolate retailer here in Philadelphia before he became a manufacturer out in Hershey. And so when he got wealthy enough, he basically just copied Girard's model, including limiting the school to fatherless white boys. Stephen Girard had indentured the boys. Milton Hershey indentured the boys. And, different though from Girard, Milton had this big business empire out in Hershey. He had 10,000 acres of land, much of it dairy farms. Then he was building what would become the largest chocolate factory in the world. He was trying to bring farmers and labor to the Hershey area. And he housed the boys, the orphan boys, on those farms as teenagers, and they worked his farms when they weren't in school.
And so in addition to bringing farmers and laborers, expand on this notion of indentured servitude.
Today it makes us very nervous when we hear about indentures. We think of indentured servants brought over from England, and they had to work off their labor for a certain number of years. And even people who have read the book, they sort of say the kids were indentured slaves, or that's laughable that they were indentured slaves. I don't say that in the book. He indentured the boys, which were basically labor contracts between the boy's mother and the school. Pennsylvania was one of several states at that time that allowed charity case children to be indentured to farmers or corporations or other groups so that they could basically work off the cost of their care. And, you know, it's not clear that Milton was doing that. They did work on his farms. Those farms were integrated into his business empire. And he also said that he indentured them because he wanted to have sort of total control of the boys and their upbringing, and that he didn't want the families to interfere with him. I think Milton was a charitable man, but I think first and foremost he was a businessman. When we think of an orphanage, which is what the Hershey School, it used to be called the Hershey Industrial School, called itself, we think of you taking a child with no parents, depositing them or leaving them in this institution, and they grow up there. What these indentures allowed Milton's institution to do was that he could break the contract and he could send the boys home. These mothers were economically powerless as it was. And by forcing them to sign an indenture was taking even more economic power away from them. It was an unusual step, I'd say.
The number of orphans in orphanages in America, I believe, peaked during the Great Depression, 1933. And since that time, it has certainly decreased. And also what we see happening concurrent with that is the Hershey assets expanding, not for the school, but beyond the school for activities that have nothing to do with education.
You know, as Hershey's model sort of evaporated, which was you had the dairy farms surrounding the chocolate factory in which he could control his raw material cost, one of them, which was milk. As the factory grew so big and America sort of industrialized and the nation built highways and you could ship milk in and stuff like that, there was no longer a need for these farms supplying milk to the factory. But they still remained part of the trust. And the trust's mission was to raise impoverished boys or orphans. So they sort of like slowly transformed a lot of that property into tourism properties.
Ultimately a medical center.
Yes, in 1963, which is sort of infamous in Hershey. The last generation of Milton's leaders had retired in the late 50s. And a new generation took over, and they did not seem to have the same ethos of caring for orphan boys that he had. And I think that there was the idea that they didn't really like the thought of Hershey being like a trade school town or a town where poor boys lived. They had a sort of a bigger, more expansive view of the town. They wanted to sort of upgrade it, but at the same time, they knew the trust was throwing off all these assets that had to be spent. Well, they were either going to be spent on poor boys, as the trust told them, or they would have to find a new mission. And they tried to find a new mission, and that was to break apart the trust. I call it loot it in my book, and divert what was then $50 million, a hefty amount of the surplus, into the Hershey Medical Center.
It timed quite nicely with, at the time, a Kennedy administration mandate to expand medical facilities across the country.
Yeah, and so they got permitted, and they got the money, and they began building the hospital. And if you read the news accounts back at that time, they were pretty clear that, hey, maybe we might spend more money outside the orphan mission. Because at that time, they were claiming there weren't enough orphans in America. Remember, it would be fatherless white boys, healthy fatherless white boys in America to help in Hershey. And as I lay out in my book, there was many ways they could have solved that problem. They could have expanded the definition of orphan to include girls or African-American boys.
Which they ultimately were compelled to do when societal demands dictated such.
Exactly. By 1968, they were forced to because of the Girard College case. But in 1963, they argued against it. They secretly negotiated with the state attorney general. The governor was part of it and the local orphans court to divert this money. They never held a public hearing on it. They never asked for public input as to say, hey, do you think we could care for more poor kids in Hershey? They just decided they couldn't, and they diverted the money.
Well, speak more about secret negotiations. You speak of, again, parents, the children themselves having limited or no voice. Who was entrusted to watch over the proceedings?
So the trust is very unusual in that it's the charity, the orphanage, is controlled by a bank, a for-profit bank. That's the Hershey Trust Company Bank, which Milton had been the president of and the chairman of the board of. And so when he created the charity, he put all the assets into the bank, and the bank acted as the trustee for the orphanage. And the bank's board could appoint the board of the charity. So he had, in 1918, when he put all his assets into the orphanage, he basically gave all his assets away to the orphanage. But he really gave them to his bank which acted as the trustee of his assets. And since that bank also appointed the board of the charity or the orphanage, he could have basically his cake and eat it too. He could still control the assets that he gave away to the charity, and he could also control the charity. And so when he died, that scheme was still in place and is still in place today.
That scheme has withstood the rigors of the Great Depression and several subsequent recessions, including the most recent one in 2008.
Financially, it's one of the world's richest philanthropies at $12 billion in assets. It's more amazing that it's withstood scrutiny by the Attorney General or the IRS.
And you speak of the legacy of Attorney Generals coming up to the modern era, most recently, obviously now Kathleen Kane, and prior to her, Tom Corbett.
Yes. So this school for poor kids has been investigated repeatedly since the early 90s. Ernie Preate investigated in 94 when they did away with the trade school, and they decided to convert it into a, you know, what people call a college preparation school for poor kids. It was investigated again in 2001 and 2002 for a number of reasons, including some safety issues at the school, proper use of assets. And then it was investigated again in 2010 to 2013 for the purchase of this luxury golf course, soaring compensation on the boards, perks related to their board meetings. And each time the trust says it will, you know, act properly, behave better, and then it just sort of the cycle seems to repeat itself. There's been no structural changes to it.
And while all this swirls around, it is still a school, and you take us often inside the school and various forms of deprivation and abuse even happening in the modern era.
One of the first stories I did when I returned to the Hershey Trust in 2010 was a secret settlement that the trust made with several boys who had been molested by a serial pedophile at the school. Charles Coons, who a DA out there said was probably the most prolific modern pedophile in central Pennsylvania.
Jerry Sandusky included.
Jerry Sandusky included. I think he had more victims than Jerry, yes. That sort of just unleashed a number of people calling me about other child care issues at the school, including past incidents of sexual abuse. And I list them in my book. You know, it's not surprising. It's an insular institution in central Pennsylvania. It has minimal oversight. The local police, you know, sort of leave it alone. And it seems to have bred a lot of abuse, sexual abuse over the years. There's been other issues related to homesickness. Kids don't want to stay there. So they either they drop out or they're expelled. In 2011, the school rejected a Delaware County boy, a suburban Philadelphia boy who had HIV, and the Justice Department investigated that rejection and found it was illegal, and the school had to settle with the boy. And, you know, most recently there was a situation where a girl had depression and suicidal thoughts, and they banned her from campus or did not allow her to go to her eighth grade graduation, and then her barbecue with her friends who she'd grown up with on the Hershey School, because it's a residential school and you live there. She was very depressed, and 2 weeks later she hung herself at her home. It was a very, very sad story.
Kathleen Kane campaigned on being a Harrisburg outsider who would take on the system, but you find fault with her for dropping the ball as well.
She was elected at a time where the investigation into this luxury golf course that the trust had purchased was far along. And I don't think anybody looking at that purchase would say that was a reasonable way to spend money that should go to poor children. It was appraised at $3 to $4 million as a golf course. It wasn't even finished. They bought it for $12 million. One of the part owners was the Hershey Chocolate CEO. There were these politically connected lawyers and doctors who owned it. So they paid two or three times the appraised value. And then they proceeded to build a $5 million clubhouse, a golf clubhouse on it, to create another, you know, high-end fancy golf course out there. And that was all done with school money. That investigation had been going on for 2 years when Kathleen came into office, and that investigation also looked into compensation on the boards. You have board members were making $100,000 minimum, some of them making $500,000. when they went to board meetings, they have first-rate lodgings. And, well, she settled that case within just a couple months or a few months of taking office. She just seemed to want to get it done. And her reforms were very similar to what had been discussed 20 years earlier that hadn't worked then. So her reforms did not meaningfully change the institution.
What are the trust's assets in 2015?
Oh, they're $12 billion. I mean, it is one of the world's richest philanthropies. It is solely devoted to educating and lifting poor children out of poverty. And I think very few people know about it.
To the extent that your book, though, repeatedly cites abrogations of that trust, would it be your intent that that school close down, or can it be reformed, amended?
I don't think it can be closed down. I think it has to be radically changed. I think the system of interlocking boards have to be done away with. The money has got to leave Hershey. All the care cannot be provided in Hershey because there's no indication to me that they really want to care for poor kids there. I think you have to move the money, the care money, closer to the kids. A chain of Hershey schools, maybe in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and around the country. You shouldn't be separating children from their families. I feel that Hershey's become affluent and prospered enough off the trust, and it should change.
And so in the face of that endeavor, can Hershey or even the state of Pennsylvania be entrusted with advancing that task, or should it fall to more federal oversight?
Looking at this for the past 100 years, and particularly the years since the early 1960s, I have no faith that the local orphans court, which is really where these are administered, will control this or limit the trust, because it's all about economic development in the Hershey area. And a local judge is not going to take this, I don't believe, a local judge is going to take the side of poor children from the state or the country over these local economic interests. The Office of Attorney General has repeatedly failed in its investigations to control these bad acts by the trust. I think either a new state body has to be brought in, or I think the IRS needs to take a look at it, the Justice Department. It is a very rich institution. They can hire high-powered lawyers, and you need an equally large power to take them on.
Your paper posited in an opinion piece that it's time for Hershey and Girard schools to move. This rich entity, Hershey, with not enough students, would couple with Girard, which has the opposite situation and pretty much bankruptcy, but lots of students. Is there any wisdom to that?
I don't find much wisdom to that. I think a school like a Girard should exist, but I think it has run through so much money. It is practically insolvent. So why would you take a wealthy institution and move money to what is an insolvent institution? The models are practically the same also. Girard prepares kids for college. Hershey prepares kids for college. The numbers I've seen in Girard's own study is that neither one of them are really accomplishing a lot. Maybe 30% of the kids are getting through college. The model needs to be changed. So I don't think moving Hershey money to Girard makes sense, no.
Bob Fernandez, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you, Dave.
Philadelphia Inquirer business writer Bob Fernandez, author of the new book entitled The Chocolate Trust, Deception, Indenture, and Secrets at the $12 billion Milton Hershey School.